was their number one motivation, you would be talking about Christ. You would be getting with a brother or sister, spending time in His Word, building and edifying each other in His Word, talking about His Word wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. Morning, day, or night, wherever you're at, you want to be connected with believers. You want to be connected in the Spirit.
They don't understand the pain, they don't know my struggle. When they find you love Jesus, that's when they don't love you. Father, you the one I worship, I put none above you. The people screaming black God, yeah they stuck on colors. God is about to prep the table for the last supper. The lack of love in this world is why the people suffer. Yeah, the faith keep us rooted in the blood cover. Children, listen to your father, don't forsake your mother. Holy Spirit makes us perfect even though we nothing. Life is simple as the life given to the butler. You can kill most your problems if you love each other. I've been shattered into pieces, pieces make a puzzle. War is on the mind, your government is ISIS. Some people call on Jesus only in the crisis. But when they read the word, you never hear excitement. We paying for our water, our price is on the priceless.
Our activities and collecting information. Facebook had attacked this personal information.
A chip is on the card, chip is in your license. The Antichrist spirit, these are his devices. They talking about the slaves when they talk about the climate. The wall in your mind, don't look down when you climb it. The book of life signing, lamb to a lion. The spirit is my teacher and this is my assignment. My drive was all gone, apply the alignment. Slave to your sin, I call that confinement. People call it rapping, I just call it holy vibing. Stay in isolation, I work better when it's silent. God made the earth, but before that it was silent. Darkness, void, no air that we could fly in. Then he formed Adam and his breath he put inside him. Then he split the waters, put the firmament inside it. God is the life and those without him ain't surviving. I knew he was the truth as soon as he said,
I am.
World's strongest man, they can never lift the wisest. Getting through them gates, we must be holy like your highness. My brothers speak the gospel and then they go apply it. The ones who live holy, the ones who ain't defiant. The sound of the trumpets, music at its finest. This one here for Israel, this one here for Zion. I'm talking real Israel, the real circumcised. The pure hearted vessels with the dirt about their eyes. The ones who live in God into the world they done died. Who put away the pride and turn from their lies. A tongue untamed is a tongue that gets tied. People out here burning from that lust up in their eyes. The goats gon' burn, the sheep's gon' rise. They said it wouldn't rain and then came the tide. Water in the blood, locusts in the flies, Jesus he betrayed, and Peter he denied. He gave paradise to the thief when he died. He believed, and since he believed, he didn't die. He believed. He believed.
Section leaders, what is our concept?
One band, one sound.
One band, one sound. When one of us is late, we are all late. When one of us looks or sounds bad, we all look and sound bad.
Thank you.
Good evening. Good afternoon, good morning. Blessings, fam. I hope all is well. I'm turning the music down a little bit more. Here it is. April 27, doing a recap of April 26, the week leading up to this. I hope all is well with everybody. Everybody doing good, you know. Everything is everything pretty much in my bubble. Thank the Lord for it. I pray the same as yours. Some of the information that I've been getting lately is that they're looking to open up, well, pretty much open up a couple of shops down here in the state of Georgia, right? Seem like the world's pretty much preparing for it. You know, a lot of production manufacturers never really stop producing any products or goods aside from the food, that is, the meat factories, because of the quote-unquote contamination with the food. And with that being a concern, I can surely understand why they would pull that one. But, you know, they don't really have anything to do too much with the, you know, the consumer market, the technology market. You know, I heard a little something about some people were receiving stimulus checks and that they were buying television sets and stuff like that. I don't know. I kind of laughed at it, chucked it to the side. Don't really know how true it is, simply because a lot of stores are closed. People that buy electronic and consumer products like that, they usually want them right then and there, versus having to order it, wait, come. But then again, that is kind of the new way of doing things nowadays. So, you know, hey, the economy's coming back. How will it look? Gyms, theaters, restaurants, I heard, are supposed to be later on throughout the day. By the time we post this, they'll definitely be opening. I'm already scheduled to open here in the state of Georgia. How that'll go, we should certainly see. I'm sure the world will hear about it. But production, you know. Everybody's ready to get back to the general flow of things, right? Production. I get it. You know, I do. I really do. I'm a human being myself, so, you know, I'm not exempt from any of the humanly things, you know, interactions, want to go out, move. And for those that have been interacting, going out and moving, just to be able to go in and out, dine, shop, things like that, because that's all we know. That's all we've been born into. Yeah, it is kind of the norm. Kind of being out of the norm is out of the norm. Who wants to make that the new norm? But then again, you know, that's what we got our politicians for. Our politicians. You know, they handle the things that we don't want to handle, right? So that we can continue to live desirably. It's easy, charismatic, carefree, careless. It's possible, right? It's pretty much what the global society is built on, right? We're all in it as one. Let's not forget that. We can't not want to all be in it as one when shit go back to the way it was. We got to all be in it as one when things are things, good or bad, you know. But what is the basis of it all, you know? What are the fundamentals? What is it built on? That's what we're going to discover today. what it's built on? Good question. Society. The global society. Together as one. Ha 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 ha. Move out radio. Oh, hold up. Before we get into it, Lord, I pray that you bless the edification of this word. Friends, family, neighbors, keep us from any hurt, harm, and danger. Let us learn something from it. For without you, we're nothing, but with you, we're all. By will you, how we shall. Let's get into it. Shall we, people? More Art Radio.
The American Banknote Company printing plant is a repurposed printing plant in the Hunts Point section of the Bronx, New York City, that is occupied by a business incubator. The building was built in 1909 by the American Banknote Company, which occupied it until 1985. In addition to printing paper documents, stamps, and currency, the plant also minted coins, and was thus known by local area residents as the Penny Factory. The building has subsequently changed hands several times, undergone a series of renovations, and been granted landmark status. It now houses a business incubator and serves as one of the cornerstones for a revitalization of the Hunts Point area. It is one of two structures in the city built by the American Banknote Company in the early 20th century. The other, the American Banknote Company building in Manhattan's Financial District, housed the corporate offices. The building occupies the block bordered by Garrison Avenue, Tiffany Street, Lafayette Avenue, and Barreto Street. The block is roughly pentagonal, with Barreto curving to form two sides. Topic history. Up until the late 19th century, the land where the banknote building stands was part of the village of West Farms in Westchester County. The area that is now the Barreto Street block was part of the estate of Edward G. Failure, where the Failure Mansion, Woodside, was built in 1832. Failure lived there until his death in 1870, after which the house continued to be occupied by his family. The 85 acres, 34 hectares estate stretched from the Bronx River to beyond what is now Southern Boulevard. Modern-day Failure Street, three blocks east of Barreto Street, preserves its legacy. The area was annexed to New York City in 1874. In 1904, the estate, comprising 1299 lots, was sold to the Central Realty Bond and Trust Co. for about $1 million. By 1908, the estate had passed into the hands of a George F. Johnson, possibly the businessman George F. Johnson, who sold the Barreto block to American Banknote. The announcement in Engineering News stated, the estate was raised in 1909 to clear the lot for construction of the banknote building. American Banknote Co., Warren L. Green, Prey, has bought from the George F. Johnson's Sons Co., a tract of 123 lots, in the Hunts Point section of the Bronx. On this site it will erect a building which will group under one roof its printing plants, now in Trinity Place, on 6th Avenue and elsewhere in the city. The plan will afford employment for 2,000 hands, and eventually there will be work under its roof for at least 5,000 persons. About $2 million will represent the cost of ground, building and its equipment. The property to be improved by the American Banknote Co. comprises all of that on the northly side of Lafayette Avenue, from Manida Street to the tracks of the New York, New Haven and Hartford RR, and all of that on both sides of Garrison Avenue from Manida Street to Lafayette Avenue, besides many contiguous parcels, excepting 18 lots in Manida Saint. The combined frontages of the tract of land acquired by the Banknote Company is 1,475 feet. To furnish adequate freight facilities for this big plant, the railroad company will extend sidings from its Hunts Point station to the property and erect a suitable freight house. Topic: Sunnyslope Mansion and Printers Park. The area has another, coincidental, connection to the printing trade. Richard March Hoe, 1812-1886, had an estate a short distance north of the Failure estate. Hoe was an inventor who patented the rotary printing press in 1846. In 1904, a portion of the Hoe estate was turned into city streets, several named after historical figures in the printing industry. Aldous Street, four blocks to the north, was named after Aldo Manuzio. Gutenberg Street with two T's was named after Johannes Gutenberg. It was renamed East 165th Street in 1911, the same year the banknote building was completed. Ho Avenue runs north from what is now Bruckner Boulevard. At the intersection of Aldous Street and Ho Avenue is Printers Park, which marks the site where Richard Ho's house, Brightside, was located. Richard's brother, Peter Smith Ho, also had a house, Sunnyslope, on the same estate. This building still stands at the corner of Failure Street and Lafayette Avenue, 3 blocks east of the printing plant. The structure currently houses the Bright Temple African Methodist Episcopal Church. Topic: American Banknote Era. The American Banknote Company had their original printing plant at 78-86 Trinity Place, in downtown Manhattan. In 1908, the company purchased a full block of land in the Bronx to build a new plant, seeking less expensive real estate than could be found in Manhattan. The architecture firm of Kirby, Petty & Green, which also designed the downtown headquarters, was engaged for the design. Topic: Pre-construction planning. On November 21, 1908, the New York Times reported on the purchase of the property on its front page. The total cost for the project was estimated at $2 million. Kirby, Petty and Green were said to already be preparing preliminary plans. Plans to move from the existing downtown location had been underway for 3 years, with the decision to move to this site being made more recently. At the time, American Banknote had a capitalization of $10 million. In addition to the several printing locations in New York City, they also had plants in Boston and Philadelphia. It was expected that the Trinity Place plant would be sold. Wages for employees were estimated to be $40 to $75 per week, these amounts being for the highest class of skilled labor. Construction plans included housing for the workers, not unlike the uplift in real estate values that would be driven, a century later, by the renovation of this building. The initial construction was estimated to increase taxable values in the neighborhood by $5 million within the next 2 or 3 years. The Times report on May 23, 1909, that construction was almost ready to begin, described a structure only somewhat similar to what was actually built. The common theme between the two was the frontage along Lafayette Avenue, where the engraving and lithographing departments would be housed. The unused design included 2 additional wings, running along the Tiffany and Garrison sides of the property, enclosing a storage building in the V-shaped central area. Each of these wings was an independent structure, with all 4 buildings interconnected. Also common to the design described by the Times, and that which was actually built, was a single entrance on Lafayette Avenue, which the Times described as an unusual detail, made necessary by the character of much of the company's business. It was anticipated that 2,500 to 3,000 people would be initially employed, with the facility being sized to accommodate growth to 5,000. Staged construction. The initial 1911 construction consisted of only 2 buildings, the long office wing along Lafayette Avenue, and the large press building, at right angles to the Lafayette wing. A detached garage was built at some time after this at the corner of Garrison Avenue and Barreto Street. It was expanded to twice its original size in 1928, to provide space for ink production. In 1912, architect H. W. Butts added a single-story addition along the Barreto Street side of the property, what is now known as the Barreto Street Wing, to hold a laundry and pulp mill. The laundry building was raised to 3 stories in 1928, by architect Oscar P. Cadmus. The space was used for additional presses and a machine shop. All of these structures are part of the landmark designation. In addition to the buildings on the landmark block, American Banknote built a number of other buildings in the immediate area. In 1913, there was built an employee welfare and research building on Lafayette Avenue, on the other side of Barreto Street, also designed by H. W. Butts. A distribution center was added in 1925 and a paper storage warehouse in 1949. These additional buildings are mentioned, exact location and current disposition unspecified, in the Landmarks Preservation Commission report, but explicitly excluded from the landmark designation. Topic: Post-construction. The building was completed in 1911. It was used until 1986 for printing banknotes, stamps, stock and bond certificates, checks, traveler's checks, letters of credit, lottery tickets, food stamps, and other financial documents. Although the plant printed money for countries around the world, it was best known for producing currencies for Latin America, including Mexico, Brazil, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Haiti, and Cuba. Typical of printing plants, the building has an open floor plan, concrete floors, and high ceilings, to accommodate large presses. The original building was smaller than the current configuration. The five-story wing along Lafayette Avenue contained offices and workrooms for plate preparation. A three-story wing was at right angles to that, with larger open spaces, heavier floor slabs, and taller ceilings to hold the presses. What is now known as the Barreto Street Wing was not part of the original construction. The site included 200 presses, a private restaurant, hospital, laundry, machine and carpenter shops, and laboratories where special inks were formulated. The exterior facade of the building is brick, with a structural framework of steel, allowing for wide unbroken arches filled with glass. Such large windows, unusual for the time, allowed daylight to flood into the building, necessary for visual inspection of detailed and colored printing work. Although incandescent lighting had been available for 30 years, modern tungsten lamps were a new invention at the time. In 1919, the plant employed 2,000 workers. In the 1960s, the plant was processing over 5 million pieces of paper a day, and printing half of the securities of the New York Stock Exchange. Topic: Engraving and counterfeiting departments. The company employed what were said to be the world's most skilled engravers, some of whom came from families which had been in the business for three or four generations. One of the more unusual job titles at the company was counterfeiter. The job entailed attempting to produce copies of the company's own products. When attempts were successful, better engraving, paper, or inks were incorporated into the products, to increase the difficulty of fraudulently reproducing the documents. The counterfeiting office was in the tower, behind locked doors. One official counterfeiter was William F. Ford. His son, Will Ford, was chief engraver in 1958, having been employed by the company for 46 years. Bombing. On March 20, 1977, the building was damaged by a FALN bombing. The explosive device was placed outside the building, near the Lafayette Avenue entrance. Damage included broken windows as high as the fourth floor. This was one of two FALN attacks that day, the other being to the FBI Manhattan headquarters. A letter from the FALN stated that the banknote building was targeted because it is one of the chief tools of capitalistic exploitation. This was the 51st attack attributed to the group in the previous 3 years. The next day, a second bomb threat against the building was phoned into the Daily News. This turned out to be a hoax by a local resident who was distraught over personal issues. The man drove up to the building while the police were sifting through rubble from the previous day's attack, announced that he had a hand grenade, and dropped it. The grenade failed to explode and was found to be a harmless practice device. Topic: Relocation. By 1984, the plant only had about 500 employees and printing facilities were relocated to a new site in Rockland County, New York. Topic: Post-banknote era. Topic: Ownership changes. In 1985, the building was purchased by Walter Kahn and Max Blauner and was repurposed as the Bronx Apparel Center. The purchase and renovation costs totaled $8.3 million. The apparel center only occupied 146,000 square feet, 13,600 square meters of the 425,000 in the building, and housed a number of tenant companies in the clothing and fabric industry. During this period, the building was also used for storage and artists' lofts, and the Bronx Academy of Arts and Dance. Other tenants included a wine cellar, a homeless shelter, and a photography studio. The building was purchased by Taconic Investment Partners in 2007 for $32.5 million, who invested another $37 million to renovate the structure. Taconic sold the building to a partnership of two real estate investment firms, Madison Marquette and Perella Weinberg, for $114 million in 2014. Topic: Renovation controversies. Following the initial sale of the building, real estate values remained low in the area. As developers started to move into the area and the building changed hands several times, the value of the property increased and rents began to rise. This caused a number of controversies with community organizations. In 2002, Lady Pink organized a group of female graffiti artists to paint a brick wall on the Barreto Street side of the property. The group revisited the site for several years. In 2013, the wall was torn down by the new building owners. One of the earliest post-banknote tenants was the Bronx Academy of Arts and Dance. When Taconic Investments purchased the building, the academy was forced out due to rising rents. There were also squabbles about being forced to pay penalties to break their lease. Topic: Landmark status. The New York City Landmarks Preservation Commission started holding hearings in 1992 to consider designating the building as landmark. Landmark status was approved in 2008. Landmarks Commission Chairman Robert B. Tierney was quoted in the official announcement as saying, "The plant is notable not only for its commanding presence in the neighborhood and from other vantage points in the Bronx, but also for the sweep of multi-story arcades across the front facade and its nine-story medieval-style tower." The announcement also cited a "monumental arcade," the "Gothic-inspired details," and the "crenellated parapet of the central tower" as significant architectural features. The building design emphasizes security by deliberately limiting access to a single entrance, despite having over 1,500 feet 460 meters of street frontage. The Real Deal describes the building as "one of the most architecturally distinctive office properties in the Bronx." Benika Morikuma, of the Municipal Art Society, described the building in her testimony supporting the landmark designation. The facade of the plant is a clear example of the expressive factory design of the New York City around the turn of the 20th century. The austere and huge horizontal massing of the main part of the printing facility and the Gothic Tower, which emphasizes the symmetry of the main facade on Lafayette Avenue, create an arsenal-like appearance and contribute to create sense of security that is closely associated with its line of business. Topic: Significant tenants. Topic: Wildcat High School. JVL Wildcat Academy operates one of their two campuses in the Banknote Building. This is an alternative school for students who have dropped out of the regular public school system. The school occupies three floors in the building, and includes the school's culinary internship program, the student-run JVL Wildcat Cafe, and a hydroponics garden. The space was renovated using a $1 million grant from the Charles Hayden Foundation. Topic: Bronx Academy of Arts and Dance. The Bronx Academy of Arts and Dance had their first home in the Banknote Building, with a 70-seat space for performances and workshops. The academy served as the home for the Arthur Avilés Typical Theater, a dance company with roots in Latino and LGBTQ cultures. When the academy moved into the Banknote Building, they occupied previously vacant space and were given a long-term, low-rent lease. They served as an anchor tenant, attracting a number of other artists, who occupied spaces ranging from 600 square foot (56 square meters) studios to entire floors. After 14 years, they were forced to move out of the building in 2012 due to rising rents. In October 2013, they found a new home in St. Peter's Episcopal Church, 3 miles away in Westchester Square. Topic: Bronx Business Incubator. In 2010, the Sunshine Bronx Business Incubator began operations in the building, occupying 11,000 square feet, 1,000 square meters. Small business and startups rent small amounts of space, as little as just one desk, with access to shared facilities such as meeting rooms, and a reception area. Leases are available on a month-to-month basis. The incubator targets startups in the fields of new media, technology, biomedicine, healthcare and professional services. Topic: Transportation. The building is adjacent to the New Haven and Hartford RR, now Metro North, tracks. When the plant was originally built, the railroad constructed a freight spur to serve the property. As of 2018, the building is directly off Bruckner Boulevard, and 3 blocks from the Hunts Point Avenue or Longwood Avenue subway stations. The Penn Station Access Project, currently in the planning stage, will provide Metro North access from a new Hunts Point station. Bicycle access is via the South Bronx Greenway.
I bet you say, why did you have us listen to that for 20 some odd minutes? You want to know why? Because the devil is in the details. If you listen to that Wikipedia article about Bank Note Corporation of America, you would have learned in detail their playbook for what's going on now. Same things that were the same moves that the Bank Note Corporation of America took then, the United States of America is taking now. The world is taking now. Hey, quick news flash. They say social distancing is going to be going or shall be moving into the summer. Right? Had to give it a pause. You know, it's the sticking it to the man with the pause. Oh, seriously. They're opening up businesses that are known or are prone for people to be within close proximity to one another. Excuse me. And that isn't questioning to anybody. Excuse me. Reason why I would question it is because they're hitting us with art. You see, American Bank Note Company went from producing bank documentation in the early 1700s and move from not just location, from location, but from being a banknote company to pretty much becoming a textile mill to counterfeiting their own product just to come out with greater paper or product. But even through that transition, they were able to come up with stamps. It was stated that they expanded their reach. Well, they had already established a well workable network early on. But now they were spending product offerings, right? And it went from them doing stamps to housing apparel companies in the old forsaken building. They were sold off or they moved off. You know, a company can sell business assets to another company that can be owned by the same people that own both companies. And yet they went from apparel to education or to a quote-unquote child development center into entertainment, arts, media, things like that. This is a company that did that. So what difference is there then than it is now? You see, if the Lord didn't move us, we would still be trying to figure out how to sharpen the edge of a stick and grasp the concept that we could formulate things with rocks. We'll still be there. Probably ain't even got there yet. You see, in the beginning of the creation of America, they had to come up with methods in order to keep the people at that time in order with the order that they seek to create. Well, people were counterfeiting money was one of the things that they mentioned. People was hacking devices, taking over technology, transmitting fake news. See, they have to control it. It's out of control. It's being shown who the real controller is, but because they are not admitting it, people will not admit it. I mean, they are pushing people to go back to their normal lives in one sector of the country, and then in another sector of the country. They're saying that they're going to push elections back to June, July, and so forth, right? But then again, on the other side of the country, you have China saying that they have set a 15-year blueprint for the global standard. And they very well can have a 15-year blueprint for what their idea of the global standard will be, right? Bill Gates saying that he's going to be he's going to be going full throttle. He's all in when it comes down to helping to fight this corona pandemic. His entire foundation is behind it, according to Apple News. I'm looking at it right now. China, once again, said they're going to shape the next tech generation. That might just be that side of the world superpower. But then again, is there really a, but I don't know, because then they got Kazakhstan. Just let me keep going. UK spies will need artificial intelligence. Pretty sure they already got that. Amazon is coming out with a new machine that'll be able to predict fraud over video calls. So that's a benefit for us as a people to want it, right? Out of all of the inconsistencies that we have seen from the past moving into the future, you know, that is a benefit that they can sell. Once again, technology, art craft. They even made mention of the word arcade. The layout of the building was Gothic. You see, it's in plain sight, but people don't want to see. How do you shape a country? Right? How do you shape a country? You shape it with the culture. How do you shape it with the culture? They say it takes a village to raise a child, right? But what if the village that are raising the children are full of children themselves? It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe we should ponder on it. But let's keep it moving. More radio.
There's no one definition to what makes something a country. What decides if a country is a country is essentially whether or not other countries agree that the country is indeed a country. For this reason, counts the numbers of countries in the world range from 189 to 196. Each country decides which other countries they recognize. If 100 UN member states suddenly recognize your basement as its own country, then it generally would be accepted that your basement is its own country. There are, however, a number of steps that any prospective country founder needs to take if they want to have any shot at gaining international recognition. The first thing anyone needs to begin creating a country is a piece of land. One way to get it is to steal it. Of course, this involves having enough guns to defend your territory. This would also be problematic for when your country gets to the stage where its legitimacy is reviewed by other nations, but this method has worked before. The easier method is to claim unclaimed land. However, with the advent of satellite imaging and modern cartography, there really are no islands or large pieces of territory that are not known. Despite this, there is a small number of places not governed or claimed by any recognized government. One of the better known recent claims happened in an area unclaimed by both Croatia and Serbia along the Danube River, the border between the two countries. This micronation, known as Liberland, has not received any international recognition and has been denounced by a number of nations, but it still affirms its legitimacy based off the lack of previous claim to its land. Its land is actually 17 times larger than the land of the smallest recognized country, the Vatican. Serbia did agree that Liberland did not infringe upon its territory, but also dismissed the endeavor as frivolous. Other new nations have had more success at international recognition. Most of these are partially recognized nations that split away from a more recognized state with the backing of the people within the territory. An example of this is South Ossetia, which split away from Georgia in 1990, and is currently recognized by Russia, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Nauru. Probably the best known and most hotly contested recently formed nation is the state of Palestine. 136 nations recognize the Palestine, and in 2012 it was designated by the United Nations as a non-member observer state. One other option for unclaimed land is Antarctica. A large section of land known as the Mary Byrd Land has not been claimed by any recognized nation. One issue with this option is the United Nations' Antarctica Treaty, which states that no new claim or enlargement of an existing claim to territorial sovereignty shall be asserted while the present treaty is in force. There are claims that pre-exist this treaty by seven different nations, although the legitimacy of these claims is disputed given the treaty. In addition to the Antarctic Treaty issue, establishing a sovereign nation in Antarctica would be difficult because of the next step in the process. A nation is created to serve its people, and without people, there is no nation. There are always people in Antarctica, but these people do not constitute a permanent population because they are primarily there for research or tourism, and none stay in Antarctica for more than a few years. Interestingly, 11 babies have been born in Antarctica, but they generally have taken the citizenship of their parents' countries. A permanent population is one of the most basic qualifiers for statehood. A sustainable independent nation would be near impossible in Antarctica. Any settlement would have no real economy and no way to naturally produce food. However, there are talks of Antarctica having oil, and if this is the case, a sovereign and potentially prosperous nation could be established in a hostile environment, much like the United Arab Emirates. Similar to the dozens of Antarctic micronation claims, Liberland struggles with a lack of permanent population. The founders' attempts to re-enter the territory have been blocked by both Serbia and Croatia. At this point, it seems unlikely that a permanent population will be established in the near future, and for this reason, the future of Liberland is bleak. A well-formed government is probably the most important aspect dictating the success of your new country. There are tons of forms of government, but considering you're forming this country in the 21st century, you're likely to base the government on John Locke's principles of government. Locke's principles essentially say that, in nature, everybody has the right to life, health, liberty, or possessions. You might notice a similarity between this and another famous document. According to Locke, in a natural society, that is, without a government, these rights are not protected because there is no higher power to do so. So in exchange for taking away part of these rights, for example, liberty when in prison or property when taxed, the government acts to protect the very same rights. Locke also states that government only works when there is a common belief in the abstract idea or illusion of government, and therefore a government can only really exist when the people are behind it. This is the reason that autocratic or absolutist governments rarely work in modern society. So now, keeping these principles in mind, you need a constitution. Every single recognized country in the world either has a constitution or some substitution to it. This is not a complicated process, so I won't go into too much detail, but essentially any country must have a set of laws, principles, and entities that make up the country, and the constitution works to define and specify these. This is where all your work comes under scrutiny. Gaining international recognition is by far the most difficult step in the country creating process. It takes potentially hundreds of years for new countries to be fully or near fully recognized. Chances are that, unless you have an overwhelming backing from the people within your country, a good reason for the establishment of your new nation, absolutely undisputed territory, and a well-balanced democratic government, you won't be recognized by any UN member states. The chances of a new, well-recognized nation outside of Africa or the Balkans is unlikely. The governments are too well-established or stable outside of these areas. The final step to gain undisputed recognition is to be admitted to the United Nations. Any application is reviewed by the Security Council, composed of China, France, the Russian Federation, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, the United States of America, and a rotating group of 10 others. If 10 of the 15 vote in favor of your country, congratulations, you've just joined the United Nations. By most metrics, you're now a country. Of course, other United Nations members still can fail to recognize you, and there are plenty of UN member states that are not fully recognized. However, that's a topic for another time. So good luck with your new country. Thanks for watching, and see you next time. The 8.9 mile gap between the Americas and the African continent, known as the Strait of Gibraltar, is home to multiple strange territories and borders on the European side.
Boy, I had a little something down then, though. But I tell you one thing, what he presented us with was good. You know, he said, good luck with being a country, right? That was my boy over there, over at Win, over production. Go and check out my YouTube. Very knowledgeable person. Very, very knowledgeable. Not sure his name, though. Never really says it. Maybe he does, and I just never really pick up on it, right? The president of the United States, Donald Trump, man, seems like he said something that got him in trouble the other day. I mean, I've been there, you know, yet here I am talking. So, you know, you must be held accountable for the things that come out of your mouth. You know, him and myself as well. But I wish the president the best luck on that, because I don't really know what went on with that matter. I don't even know what it started over, how it started. I did hear people speaking on it. I guess a lot of people got a kick out of it. But once again, you know, there are a lot of people that walk out of the room when he speaks, you know, but whenever he makes an ass of himself, you know, we like to laugh about it, right? But if only we was to laugh just as hard when it's our ass and not someone else's, you know, I think we might just be in that thing in a whole different way than what we think we are already in it, right? They say the grass is a lot darker than your ass thought it was. Damn sure is. It damn sure is. Okay. excuse me. It's a little chilly here in Atlanta. Get hot, get cold. I believe that it's weather modification, especially with this coronavirus and things going on. People are supposed to be getting back outside, but, you know, it rained mostly last week. Had a couple of days that were average for around this time, about 70, mid-70s. But the last couple of days, it has been just, I mean, I don't know. Guess you got to just let it be what it is, right? Check it. Not only do they modify the weather, not only do they have the ability to do so because the world has been given to the hands of the wicked for a short period of time, but would you have ever guessed that they've been controlling not just what you know, but what you are able to get your hands on as well? Bank Corporation of America, right? You know, the reason why the Lord had me do this show this way, building into families, and it's kind of odd that it built that way. The Lord was shaping me that way. And then I caught this really, 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 really good snippet that we're going to play next. And it's great. Ties into it all so, so well. But the Lord put it on my heart and he told me, I was investigating the Bank Corporation of America, in the relationship with, Bill Gates, and his foundation. And the reason being is because these are the same people that print well. They allow banking institutions access to the products that they're able to offer alongside their services for their clients. And they've been doing so for a very, 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 very long time, being the Bank Corporation of America, or ABC Corp. Or AB Corp, ABCORP. And before that, you can go and you can look in your history book and there will be different kind of currencies, pretty much state by state, right? And the Lord told me that that was the method in that time to keep control, because if they would have came out with the bank note and made it the American bank note, when society was not yet ready, it would have crumbled, right? And being able to look at their history, we can examine that and appreciate that statement a lot more, right? Because even now, with this pandemic that's going on, a lot of people are thinking that we're going to move into the movie In Time, right? It's a movie about, well, time is your currency. It's called In Time. And it's funny because End Times. But the End Times has been for so long because back when those state currencies, that was your end time moment. Because you would need to swap currencies to get from state to state. Or I'm sure that they had some kind of exchange rate, right? And even before they got to the state rate or the state level, it was on a certain business level. So I'm sure you had to be a high level prestige company in order to be able to provide these level of documentations, right? But when the American banknote system came about, that allowed the entire United States to move about freely, right? And that lasted for a period of time. don't know the quite time frame from that period of time, but we have the timeline. We just have to go through and do the mathematics in order to get particulars. And, you know, I say particulars because we'll get a ballpark figure. They don't never, you know, because if you go somewhere else, do the same information, you'll get similar information, but a lot of shit always, you know, always got to ask your questions, right? Because things are supposed to be questioned. So if that is the way that it is, and they say that a village raises a child, then who raises the village, right? It has to be a bigger village or a nation of people, right? I like the way that sounds. Nation of people. Because a nation is not formed without people, right? So if a nation is formed with people, then that will go back to the things that the president of the United States said and him being held accountable for it, because it comes down to a particular person. Would it or would it not? It's a great question. Now, here's this clip that I thank the Lord for giving me yesterday when I was supposed to do this show, but I did it today, because it helped to tie everything together. So let's get into it. Muwak Radio.
Let me tell you something. See, right now, right, the school's closed, the kids home, you the teacher. The school closed to a pandemic right now. Yeah, we going through the coronavirus, the COVID-19 and all that, right? And you got to become the teacher-student thing. You got to do the thing you got to do with your kids, right? And see, I'm telling you this because I just took a test with my daughter. She going to the sixth grade. I felt the fifth grade exam. I took it. She ain't take not one question. I don't know them answers. But see, I'm going to tell you something. The kid started looking at me crazy like, Daddy, you supposed to know that. This the stuff you be whooping my ass about, and you don't even understand this schoolwork. See, I realized, see, even me, like, I got a difficult time with reading stuff to my kids. Like, some of them, I don't understand them damn words, and I know y'all women having a hard time. You got the goddamn child correcting you. It's flight, not fight. Hey, it's baby Jerry in that story, not baby Daddy. The kid tell you, Mama, that say baby Jerry in that story. Why you say it say baby Daddy? Now you want to take a hanger and go across her head because you don't even know what the goddamn word said. You got to fix that. Y'all looking like a real big dummy to your third grade child. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When them goddamn school asked y'all for them computers back that they gave y'all for free, please don't return them goddamn computers back with roaches in them. Make sure you clean the damn computer. We know y'all got roaches and rats in your house. Don't turn the computer back with a rat turd and a rope goddamn leg in the computer. Give it back to them how they gave it to you, man. Listen, don't feel bad that you can't teach your kids the schoolwork that you don't understand. That's fine. It's some stuff that the teachers don't know that you can teach your child. It's some stuff that you can comprehend with your child that they ain't never gonna learn from K through 12 or even 12 through college. They ain't gonna learn it. What you gotta understand is you could teach your child how not to be a slave. What is a slave? A slave is a worker without a vision. Somebody that don't even know they slave. Somebody don't even know they just working. Just going to work every day. And then they wake up one day and wonder why, where the hell the money went. They working to pay bills. You could teach your child how to break that cycle in your family. You could teach your kids about the importance of paying taxes. You could teach your kids how to file taxes. How if you working on a job, you a taxpayer, and at the end of the year, they owe you money, right? But if you a business owner, you are self-employed, so at the end of the year, you owe them money. You could teach your kid that. You could teach your kids how to buy and sell real estate, right? Unless you want your kid to be staying with you for the rest of your life. You could teach your kids how to pay rent or how to own a house and pay mortgage. There's some stuff you could teach your kids. You could teach your kids how to manage a business. You could teach your kid how to own their own business. This is the stuff that school, even business class, don't even teach you. This the advantage you got because you own the business. This the advantage you got because you manage your business. Teach your kids how to run your business. Teach your kids the importance of having their own business. So when they get a decent job opportunity to become a manager, they'll know how to manage. teach your kids what to do to maintain your business as if it was their business. If something happened to you, they'll handle your business as if you were still there. You don't know what the future may bring. You don't know if you're going to wake up one day or you ain't going to wake up. You don't know when God's going to call you home. So I'm telling you right now, if you want your business to keep running, you got to teach your child. That's the only person that you can trust. You can't trust this raggedy-ass woman you got enough. You can't trust this raggedy man. You know he did with you for the goddamn taxes and the wick and the food stamp. So you can't trust him. Teach your kids so they can handle your business or manage your business with integrity, with ambition, with dedication, with determination. Teach your kids the importance of exercising, eating healthy, going up. Instead of Netflix, they watching Ryan and all these people making them rich. You need to put on that movie, What the Health. Teach them the importance of eating vegetables. Some kids can't go without burgers and fries and chicken and fries. Teach them to go inside that refrigerator and grab a pack of lettuce and make them a salad. Teach them go how to run. Instead of punishing them and beating them all the time, take them outside and run them some sprints. Make them do push-ups, sit-ups. Make them do some jumping jacks when they get in trouble. Bet they won't mess up no more. It's different ways to punish your child. You gotta teach your child that so they don't grow old, overweight, and become lazy. See, you gotta understand, man, black people are prone to diabetes. Black people are prone to high blood pressure. So it's important that we teach our kids and start our kids early to incorporate the fruits and vegetables into their daily routine, man, into their daily meals instead of chicken and fried with these processed meats. Man, listen, man, the life expectancy of a black man now is 60, 70 years old. You passing out, dying with diabetes, high blood pressure, dementia, and all that. Man, it's time to break that cycle because it started from the food. You got to teach your kids that so they can build their immune system. Because if your immune system's grown, you ain't worried about the flu lasting with you too long because your immune system's grown. And you right here depending on these pills and these prescriptions that these doctors giving you. You don't know what they putting in them medicines. Teach your kids how to eat their medicine instead of depending on the doctor to get them some medicine. Teach your kids the difference between good dip and bad dip. Investments and depreciating assets. Yeah, some people are upside down with their debt right now. Credit cards maxed out because they shopping all day, buying designer clothes and buying all type of shoes and cars they don't need, can't afford. They upside down, right? Yeah, things they don't need got them upside down. You got to teach your kids the difference between investments and depreciating assets, man. Good debt is when you take a loan out the bank and buy a business that will produce a return. Bad debt is when you spend money on things that don't increase the dollar amount in your bank account. You just spending money. Spent money and earned income is the difference between good debt and bad debt. Teach your kids about stress management and how to deal with stress management. Yeah, build up your child's self-esteem so no man, no woman can break them down, man. I'm talking about so they won't depend on drugs and liquor one day to get them through a problem they're going through. They around here going to drugs and drinking, becoming alcoholic like you will. Teach your kids that they beautiful kings and queens like your daddy and your mama should have taught you, man. Teach them how to feel better about themselves and they gonna get through this, man. All these things that you supposed to teach your child is stuff that the teacher ain't gonna teach your child because it ain't their job to teach your child. Your child teacher job is to teach your kid how to work for their oppressor, how to add the oppressor money, how to work at a job. They ain't trained to teach them communication skills, character skills, yeah, personnel skills. They ain't gonna teach them that. You got to be the one that's scripting your child character and build them up, man. This ain't your teacher. This a mother and a father job. Y'all don't care how beautiful you is as a woman. I don't care if you think you a bad, the bad one with the fatted booty and all that. If you ain't a good mother, you ain't shit. Especially knowing you done went through the same thing as an individual with your mother and father, having somebody in your house ain't teach you the stuff that you supposed to teach, and you told yourself one day when I get older and have kids, I ain't gonna never take my kids what I went through. Now you taking them through the same thing. God done gave you the time. You all work. You need to be doing what you need to do. Just imagine how much further you would have went, or how much more money you would have earned, or how much faster you would have made it in your life if you would have had that support system as a parent. You got the time to do it now. You all work. You ain't got to go to work. Work clothes. get on your job and work as a parent. Because this is how you going to instill good character. This is how you going to produce personality in your child. Your child watching you right now, you Superman and Catwoman to your child. They looking up to you. You got to be that example to get the kids a head start on life. They watching you. Hey, be a good father. Be a good mother. Be a good teacher. Distill that wisdom in your child so no man can't run no game on your daughter, dog. Instead of keeping your daughters in the house, teach your little boys how to behave so they can come out the house and find them a good man. Yeah, you around here worrying about your daughter can't get next to no boys and all that. If you teach your sons how to be a man, then you wouldn't worry about no daughter coming outside. You know why? Because a man know how to treat a woman. You ain't teaching them that. This the stuff we got to start instilling in the black families. We around here raising hoes. We around here raising young dudes walking around with their pants hanging off their head, acting like a WNBA young boy and the rest of them. It's time to teach your child what a man really is and a woman really is, what a business owner is, what a taxpayer is. This is how you raise kids, man. Because you got to pass this torch. You ain't going to be young forever. Everything is for a season. And that season comes to an end. You going to get old one day and your kids going to be your age one day. What they know. Nah, what they know now that they didn't know then, that's your job. We the business.
Man, I am extremely blessed to have Nino Brown to speak that message today. Yes, sir. Coming from a man who don't have any kids, but who loves and enjoys young people, because I understand that they are our future. For without them, we have no future. What is it to live for? If you build all these things and you have no one to leave them to, right? As we get older, we like to be looked at for the things that we're good at. We like to be loved. We want to feel good. We want to feel great. But the thing is, building sometimes is a painful process. And it's painful not because it hurts, but because it's difficult. And people don't want to go through difficult moments. People want easy and nice things, especially in this generation. But you have to understand that there's about to be a new beginning. And in that new beginning, you have to reshape your mind, reshape your deeds, and reshape your reasoning behind it all. Because without it, we're not moving in the right direction. And if you're not moving in the right direction, where are you moving? That's the question that we need to ask. Because without it, we're lost. We truly are. But building a country. Building the country starts with each individual person. It's just like building a big anything. It starts with the small things. Small piece here, small piece here, small piece there. Next thing you know, you're gonna look up and you're gonna say, wow, it's a lot of shit. Usually other people say, wow, that's a lot of shit. You say, yeah, I know, I got a lot. You know, they say, oh, how long did it take you to get it? You say, well, you know, I got a little here, a little there. And then there's a story behind it. You see? Behind each individual, there's a unique story. It's all summarized in your name. A lot of us don't know who we are, what we're here for, what we're going to do. You can start by finding out who you are by looking up your name. From there, start asking questions. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do while I'm here? You'll be surprised where those questions will lead you. If you take on to them in the right spirit, the right shape, the right forms, and the right matters. You know, because you're not the first one that done it. You're not going to be the last. But the idea is not just to build something to pass down, but to be able to obtain knowledge and to be able to give it to the next generation so that they can move a lot further. A lot faster, you know. Isaac, you know, was almost sacrificed. Well, I believe spiritually he was, because his name went from Isaac to Israel. I say that to people a lot, and they say, no, that's not it. And I say, yeah, it is. There's a lot there. There's an entire story there. That was the first time that I've ever seen a man's name be passed down from his father. But it got changed. Right? But it was by his father. Story to that. Whole lot of different accounts. But there's a story to it. Isaac went from Isaac to Israel. You know, and just for those that want to know that story, know that mother, your little girl, she can be so much greater than you were. Father, things that you're building for your little man to take over, you know. But here's that story of Isaac and Israel. So let's get into it. Moor Radio.
God's story. Jacob wrestles. So part of God's story is about the time a guy named Jacob wrestled with a stranger. And it begins like this. Jacob grew up with a big, tough, hairy twin brother named Esau. Because Esau was the firstborn, he was supposed to get a special blessing. But Jacob was tricky, and with the help of his mom, wound up getting the blessing for himself. This made Esau furious, so Jacob ran away. A few years later, God told Jacob to return home, where Esau still lived. But Jacob was a little worried. He had heard that Esau was headed toward him with 400 men. Either Esau had a lot of friends, or he was bringing an army. So Jacob sent messengers ahead with gifts. Hopefully, if Esau was still angry with him, the gifts would calm him down. While Jacob was traveling, he stopped by a river. Now, God hadn't asked Jacob to stop. He stopped because he was afraid. He sent his family and servants and everything he owned across the river. Then he waited, alone, crying out to God in frustration. Jacob knew God had promised to be with him, but he was terrified. Suddenly, a man came into the camp out of nowhere and began to wrestle Jacob. Jacob fought back, and this was a knockdown, drag-out title fight. All night, neither one of these fighters backed down. In fact, they wrestled for so long that the sun started to come up. When the stranger saw that Jacob wasn't going to give up, he touched Jacob's hip, and that simple touch pulled Jacob's hip out of socket, causing him to limp. Then the man said, "Let me go." But Jacob knew there was something special about this guy. So he said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." The stranger stopped fighting and gave Jacob a new name. He said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you fought with God and with men and have won." See, the name Israel actually means God fights. Kids, that means that Jacob had been wrestling all night with God. Anyway, right after that, the stranger did bless Jacob. But the best part is, Jacob knew he had seen God face to face, and that changed him. Not only did Jacob get a new name, but he was no longer a fearful man running away from his own brother. In fact, when the stranger left, Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming. This time, he ran to Esau, kissed him, and gave him gifts just because he loved him. Jacob realized that he could obey God no matter how scared he felt. He could trust that God would always keep his promises. And that's the story of Jacob wrestling with God. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. God told Jacob to go home. That meant seeing his brother Esau. Jacob made camp near a river alone. He was terrified. A stranger came and wrestled him. They fought until dawn. The stranger touched Jacob's hip. The wrestling match was over. Jacob asked for a blessing. He got a new name first. It was Israel. The stranger was God. Jacob went to meet Esau. He trusted God. And that's a part of God's story.
Hey, on that note, it ain't too much more to say. By way of Yahweh Shai, thank you, Yah. Hey, guess what, Israel? It ain't nighttime no more.
If Jesus was the number one motivation, you'd be talking about Christ. You would be getting with a brother or sister, spending time in His Word, building and edifying each other in His Word, talking about His Word wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. Morning, day, or night, wherever you're at, you want to be connected with believers. You want to be connected in the Spirit.
They don't understand the pain, they don't know my struggle. When they find you love Jesus, that's when they don't love you. Father, you the one I worship, I put none above you. The people screaming black God, yeah, they stuck on colors. God is about to prep the table for the Last Supper. The lack of love in this world is why the people suffer. Yeah, the faith keepers rooted in the blood cover. Children, listen to your father, don't forsake your mother. Holy Spirit makes us perfect even though we nothing. Life is simple as the life given to the butler. You can kill most your problems if you love each other. I've been shattered into pieces, pieces make a puzzle. War is on the mind, your government is ISIS. Some people call on Jesus only in the crisis. But when they read the word, you never hear excitement. We paying for our water, our price is on the price list.
Our activities and collecting information. Facebook had tagged this personal information.
A chip is on the card, chip is in your license. The Antichrist spirit, these are his devices. They talking about the slaves when they talk about the climate. The wall in your mind, don't look down when you climb it. The book of life signing, lamb to a lion. The spirit is my teacher and this is my assignment. My drive was all gone, apply the alignment. Slave to your sin, I call that confinement. People call it rapping, I just call it holy vibing. Stay in isolation, I work better when it's silent. God made the earth, but before that it was silent. Darkness, void, no air that we could fly in. Then he formed Adam and his breath he put inside him. Then he split the waters, put the firmament inside it. God is the life and those without him ain't surviving. I knew he was the truth as soon as he said,
I am.
World's strongest man, they can never lift the wisest. Getting through them gates, we must be holy like your highness. My brothers speak the gospel and then they go apply it. The ones who live holy, the ones who ain't defiant. The sound of the trumpets, music at its finest. This one here for Israel, this one here for Zion. I'm talking real Israel, the real circumcised. The pure-hearted vessels with the dirt about their eyes. The ones who live in God into the world they done died. Who put away the pride and turn from their lies. A tongue untamed is a tongue that gets tied. People out here burning from that lust up in their eyes. The goats gon' burn, the sheep's gon' rise. They said it wouldn't rain and then came the tide. Water in the blood, locusts in the flies. Jesus he betrayed and Peter he denied. He gave paradise to the thief when he died. He believed and since he believed he didn't die. He believed.
Section leaders, what is our concept?
One band, one sound.
One band, one sound. When one of us is late, we are all late. When one of us looks or sounds bad, we all look and sound bad.